Blog Talk Radio.
Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it. Sing out. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open up the gates of heaven. Let it rain.
Let it rain.
Let it rain. Open up the
Come and move, God. Come and move amongst us.
Hallelujah, and welcome back. This is the Prophecy at the Midnight Hour, and we are broadcasting live out of Rockville, Maryland, a suburb of our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the capital of the United States of America. It's Christmas Eve, 2014, 8.05 p.m. Eastern Time, 5.05 p.m. Pacific Time, and we welcome back heartily all of the precious listeners throughout the United States and the international listeners around the globe, and particularly those of you searching for the Word of the Lord throughout the archives and in the podcast. A warm welcome and greeting to you in Jesus' mighty name. We have another special segment. This one is very timely, as in the definition and how the Lord defines Christmas. And we also have a recent prophecy from the mighty prophet of the Lord for miracle healings that will occur in the soon approaching Nukuru Grand Mega year-end revival. That revival is scheduled to run this year, December 30th, 2014, all the way through January 2nd and 3rd, I believe. There will also be a second international, interdenominational pastors conference, and all of the nations of the world will be gathering at the altar of the Lord in Nakuru, Kenya. This prophecy that we will hear shortly was just posted December 23rd, that was yesterday, a prophecy of the Lord where we will hear the abundance of the rain from heaven will fall on the meeting, and the Lord will heal his people, whether HIV/AIDS, whether cancer, whether tumors, recreation miracles, whether broken backs and spinal cords, regardless of the condition. The Lord's miracle-working power, the mighty Holy Spirit, is going to show up, going to heal his people. And what a glorious Christmas present that is to the church, to the Oil and Wine Church. And this Joel 2:28 revival, so we had a chance to testify as eyewitnesses last Sunday, just this most recent Sunday, in fact. And you heard from Pastor Jose Bobadilla that the Lord has brought this evening as well. He is online from the California altar. Pastor Louis Wippo from the Maryland altar. And we had a chance to share the testimony of actually being at the Lord's revival meetings there with the Lord's Malachi 3:1, Malachi 4:5, bondservant of the Lord, the Elijah that the Lord had promised he would send to the church prior to the coming of the Messiah to prepare the church to enter into the kingdom of God. And we see the nations now mobilizing all over the globe. And it's our heartfelt prayer that the Lord continues to resurrect this Ezekiel 37 valley of dry bones here in the United States of America. We have taken the word of the Lord and essentially tossed it out of the church. The things that people see on Christian TV and Christian media is simply outright humiliating and embarrassing, to such a point that if even those that are inside the church were honest, it's a little bit embarrassing to invite the foreigner, the outsider, the heathen, and the pagan into the house of the Lord, because they know they're going to hear the preaching of money. They know they're going to see a lifestyle without righteousness. It'll be right in front of them as they see lust of the flesh. They will see sexual sin with their own eyes. In essence, and in a simple sentence, no fear of the Lord and the house of the Lord in the United States. It's our prayer that as the listener hears the prophecy, that there's another church. There's an Oil and Wine Church of the Joel 2:28 revival today. This is the message of the Lord to the church today. There are wise virgins, there is a remnant, and there is always a remnant. We see this throughout the Bible, whether in Isaiah or in Zechariah, in the Gospels, as our Lord taught and preached exclusively about the narrow gate, that for sure there would be a remnant, yet many would go astray and take another path, and certainly we have seen that at point-blank range as well. No better nation has illuminated that than the United States of America. We are the number one cheerleader of the false gospel of prosperity. We are leading the globe in pornography, unfortunately, and also divorce, even in the house of the Lord and those that call upon the name of the Lord, higher than what it is upon those that do not call upon the name of the Lord. And so we may sit in ashes and shame here, but that's not the end of the story. That's only the half of the five foolish virgins. And the five wise virgins, as you will hear very shortly, will be enjoying the abundance of the rain of the Holy Spirit from heaven. They will descend upon the Isaiah 19:19 altar of the Lord, and it's in the Bible. The Lord had prophesied that these days would come. And there you will see jubilation, the miracles of the Lord, and a revival church that really does defy or make it very challenging to put into simple English words, something to be experienced. If you go to the website, highwayofholiness.us, or the Facebook page, Repent USA, you'll see many links to the revival, many prophecies as well. They're all free. No cost, there's no cost anything at all to do with the work of the Lord in the ministry. That's how important the message is. That's how critical it is at this hour. This is no time to be fooling around when HIV/AIDS is healed free of charge and no one's marketing anything. You know the hand of the Lord is involved. Because if that were here in America, sure enough, somebody would have a dozen donate buttons somewhere on their webpage and cards and solicitations and you name it. The work of the Lord, and this is the revival of the Lord. And these testimony and witnesses are true. We established the word of the Lord on Sunday, Deuteronomy 19:15, one of about a dozen scriptures where the Lord repeats when he brings forth two witnesses, a matter is established. We have another witness online, Pastor Jose Bobadilla, that has been to the end time revival in Kenya. And Pastor Jose, as we hear what the Lord's placed on your heart for this evening's segment, just so the listeners know, and we are both scheduled to be, Lord willing and everything goes well, in Nakuru, Kenya, at the end time revival of the Lord, the grand mega revival of the Lord. And we encourage other listeners that are hearing this who would like to attend a meeting in the future, you can reach either Pastor Jose or myself on the website. We have both email and cell phone numbers there at highwayofholiness.us. And you can also go over to the Repent USA Facebook site and drop a message too. And I believe, Pastor Jose, there's also a personal website and Facebook site, and I'm not real certain of that name, and you can share that with the listening audience. For those, especially here in America, that would like to know a little bit more, see firsthand what the Lord is doing, that this is no exaggeration, and in fact, these are understatements, tempered understatements to an audience whose mind is obviously bent at hearing that the Joel 2:28 revival is in full force, and they didn't even know it. But with that, I'd like to go over to Pastor Jose. And Pastor Jose, what's the Lord placed on your heart evening segment?
Amen. Hallelujah. Shalom, amen. Pastor Lou. And shalom to all the precious saints tuned in throughout the United States of America, worldwide, from continent to continent, nation to nation. Welcome in the name of the Lord as the message that goes out from here is the message from the Lord to the nations of the earth. And this message is being brought forth through the Lord's mighty prophet, mighty end time servant, as prophesied in the Bible, a promise that was made by the Lord is being fulfilled. His servant is here, precious saints. And as you heard Pastor Lou share, we have been allowed to be witnesses of this magnificent, tremendous, wonderful end time revival that has begun from the nation of Kenya and has been going from nation to nation to nation. And this is, as we've shared in the past, this is something different. This is something else that we have been, that we have not been taught here in America, especially, that we have not seen, that we are not used to. Why? Because this is a spiritual message. This is the message from the Lord. And this is a message that rebukes the flesh, precious saints. It is not pleasing to the flesh. So the flesh will reject this message, will not understand this message, will not receive this message. This is a message that unless you cry out to the Lord in repentance, in complete surrender, asking the Lord to give you those spiritual ears to hear his voice, to hear his message, we will not understand this message. We will not hear it. As we can see clearly here in the United States of America, the church as a whole, completely, precious saints, has taken a different road, gone in the direction of apostasy, has turned in a direction that is leading completely in the opposite direction of the ways of the Lord, of the ways of the word of the Lord. It is preaching a message of the world, the message of man, the message of prospering and living better here on earth, a message that tells the sheep, that tells the saints that if you are prospering in wealth, in career, in the ways of the world, then you are in the right direction with the Lord. And that is wrong. That is the false teaching that has plagued the altars, that has plagued the pulpits in the United States of America, and has spread like cancer, like wildfire, to the nations of the earth. The message of the Lord is a message of true repentance, a message that separates from the world to the Lord, back to the ways of the Lord, a message that gives no compromise to sin, none at all, no yeast, precious things. All sin must be rebuked. We cannot compromise with the world. The results of compromising with sin and compromising with the world is what we see in the church in America today. A church that has compromised with sin and is preaching a different message, a message that leads to complete destruction. And the shocking part about it is that no one in that church knows it, knows that they're heading in the wrong direction. Nobody is there to stand up and tell the preacher on the pulpit, we need to stop this. This is not the message of the Lord. This is not the message that preaches that we have a holy God and that no sin will stand before him. That unless we are walking in his righteousness and his holiness, we will not be able to stand in his presence. That is in the word of the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. We need to walk on the highway of holiness. And the only way to walk on that highway is to be led by the mighty Holy Spirit. He is the only one that can show us in that direction. He is the only one, the only skillful one that can show us the way. And this is clearly the hour, precious saints, to cry out to the Lord in complete surrender, in complete repentance. That we may be able to hear the voice of the Lord. The Lord has sent his servant, his mighty servant, precious saints, that is preaching the pure message, the holy message of the Lord directly from heaven. The only message that will give the church the oil to fill their jars, their lamps burning, to keep our lamps burning as we have stepped out in the darkness and as we wait for our bridegroom. We must tend our lamps continually. We must seek the Lord in complete repentance. This is the time to remain in the wilderness of repentance. We cannot be found anywhere else. The Lord is coming. We have been hearing the warnings of the Lord for years now, precious saints. And we can see that time is over. We can see all the world events that are going on around us. The wars and rumors of wars. We can see the condition of the economic world system on the verge of collapse. And we know that even if one nation falls, the rest will follow. We see all the military activities going on, all the threats. We see the Middle East is ablaze. So much tension, so much bloodshed. We see the diseases that were prophesied. Ebola, AIDS, all the different new diseases that are coming forth. This is the hour. These are the signs that were spoken of by our Lord in the Olivet Prophecy, Q24, Luke 21, Mark 13. And John was given the revelation of our Lord Jesus. And we have seen the four horsemen of the apocalypse being let loose. these are the days that we're living in. And we thank the Lord so much that he has allowed us to be able to come together and to send this message of warning to all the saints, whether it's here in America or in any nation of the earth. Because this message is for the earth. This message is for all the saints throughout the globe. The Messiah is coming, precious saints. The Messiah is coming, and he's coming for a bride that has prepared herself, that has made herself ready, that has separated from the ways of the world, that has rebuked, that is rebuking the sin, all sin, sexual sin, the love of money, homosexuality, lesbianism, love of self, the prosperity gospel. I'd like to read from the word of the Lord. And this is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verses 6 to 13. Isaiah 13, 6 to 13. Wail, for the day of the Lord is near. It will come like destruction from the Almighty. Because of this, all hands will go limp. Every heart will melt with fear. Terror will seize them. Pain and anguish will grip them. They will writhe like a woman in labor. They will look aghast at each other, their faces aflame. See, the day of the Lord is coming, a cruel day with wrath and fierce anger, to make the land desolate and destroy the sinners within it. The stars of heaven and their constellations will not show their light. The rising sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. I will punish the world for its evil, the wicked for their sins. I will put an end to the arrogance of the haughty, and will humble the pride of the ruthless. I will make people scarcer than pure gold, more rare than the gold of Ophir. I can't pronounce that word. I'm sorry. Ophir. Therefore, I will make the heavens tremble, and the earth will shake from its place at the wrath of the Lord Almighty in the day of his burning anger. Precious saints, these are the warnings from the Lord. The Lord has sent his mighty end time servant to warn the nations of the earth. The mighty end time prophet that was prophesied in the word of the Lord in the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Dr. David Edward Orr, he is here, and he has been given the authority from heaven, from the Lord, to warn the nations of the earth, to prepare the way and make straight the path for the return of our Messiah. Thank you, Pastor Lou.
Amen and hallelujah. The Lord is very, very good, precious listeners. As you just heard Pastor Jose read the word of the Lord from Isaiah 13, it is not a fiction or a novel. This is the word of the Lord that will surely come to pass. And as we see in Matthew 16, there are many that are demanding a more specific sign. Let's see what the Lord says in Matthew chapter 16, and we will wrap up this portion of the segment with the counter answer to Isaiah 13 and take a look at Jonah chapter 3. For we are at the Nineveh moment. Destruction is there, not even on the horizon. We're actually wallowing in the doldrums of spiritual mediocrity, just like the Laodicean church, and it hangs right over the shadow. This is what the Lord said to the Pharisees and those that were demanding the sign from him. This is Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 2. When evening comes, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation looks for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. Jesus then left them and went away. Target scripture, verse 4, Matthew chapter 16, verse 4. A wicked and adulterous generation. Very few phrases would sum up the behavior, just looking at the fruit on the ground, the behavior in the United States of America, the church especially in the United States of America, and looking for a sign, but none will be given it except the sign of Jonah. And we find in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, the Lord introduces Jonah with this: the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Verse 2. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. That's Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. We know Jonah's response initially was to run away from the Lord. He did not want to go and preach the message of repentance to Nineveh. But we find in Jonah chapter 3, the Lord won him over. Jonah repents. He goes to Nineveh. And here we see the Nineveh moment, the gospel of repentance, the gospel that Christ preached, the only gospel Christ preached. We see Jonah share with Nineveh, and notice this response, starting at Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. Then the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began by going a day's journey into the city, proclaiming, 40 more days, and Nineveh will be overthrown. Verse 5, the Ninevites believed God. A fast was proclaimed, and all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. When Jonah's warning reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. This, the proclamation, he, that is the king, issued in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, do not let people or animals, herds or flocks taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let the people and animals be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. Verse 10, when God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring on them the destruction he had threatened. The sign of Jonah is here today, and there is one among us, a prophet, whose sole message to the church, the same message we see from Christ himself, repent, the kingdom of God is at hand. And we have the sign of Jonah in front of us, and this is the Nineveh moment for the church in the United States of America, where she can choose the nation from least to the greatest, as Nineveh did, from the president, Barack Obama, and the House and Congress, all the way down to the common house, can choose to repent and return to the Lord and the priest and the pastors. And as we saw, the Lord relented in Nineveh, as even the animals were covered in sackcloth. Or we can choose Daniel 5, Babylon moment, and as we saw and heard just a few moments ago, Pastor Jose read the word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 13, for those that refuse to repent and return to the Lord. For sure, the sign of Jonah is among us, and the Lord always offers opportunities. For this day, we can choose life and repent and turn from the wickedness which we've piled high into the heavens, or we can choose to continue to go down the path of utter destruction and ruin. This is the word of the Lord. These are the signs of our time. It's right before our very eyes. Christ himself told us in Matthew chapter 16, verse 4, that this would be the only sign that the wicked and adulterous generation would see. And here we are, this very day, the word of the Lord is revealed. And it is our prayer that the church all throughout the United States and the remnant and all within striking distance of the word and the voice, for it's all over planet Earth, especially here in the United States of America, would return their hearts that they would exchange for stone or heart of flesh and return to the Lord in righteousness and in holiness and prepare for the coming of the Messiah. For we are out of time for sure, and all the signs are all around us. And we thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the precious end time gospel. We thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the recent prophecies as well that attest to the authenticity and veracity of the message, as well as being eyewitnesses to the miracles of the Lord. And all of it without cost, and all of it without fundraising, and all of it without money grubbing, manipulation, and witchcraft. All of it provided by the blood of the Lamb. Christ crucified, Christ resurrected, Christ is coming again. Let's go to the healing prophecy first. This is the promise to the Lord, a Christmas present, if you will, a glorious prophecy just given December 22nd, December 23rd of 2014. For those that are wondering about dates and prophecies, here you go. This one couldn't be any clearer. This will manifest in broad daylight. We will again be get a chance and an opportunity to be eyewitnesses. Television, radio, and media will be in Nakuru, Kenya as well, also documenting it. And if you're curious, there's plenty of YouTube videos, plenty of Facebook, plenty of web pages out there with the miracles of the Lord documented. And this is the Lord speaking to the church through the mighty prophet, Dr. David Awor, of the soon manifesting miracles of the mighty Holy Spirit at the Joel 2:28 End Time Revival. Let's hear what the Lord says.
Mighty prophet of the Lord.
Amen, Pastor Gertrude. The Lord has spoken with me today. The Lord spoke with me today in this place at about 12 o'clock. He spoke with me about the meeting that is coming up. And in that conversation, the Lord has shown me the meeting, and there's going to be historic healing and historic visitation that will take place in the meeting of the Lord in Nakuru, the grand mega historic revival healing service that will take place at Kaptembo Grounds in Nakuru. And in that conversation, the Lord has shown me the massive healing that will take place in Nakuru. And then he has also extended this today and also spoken with me about the conference that is coming up, the second International Conference of Pastors. And as I was there, then a crippled baby walks. So it seems there is going to be healing extended even into the conference. The conference, and I see a lot of people moving, giving way, crowding, standing up from their feet and giving way when a crippled baby is walking. I don't know that this baby was healed from the meeting and appeared in the conference, but it seems to me that this baby is healed here. So that means there will be an extension of the anointing of the Lord's healing across from Kaptembo Grounds into the pastors' conference, the second International Conference of Pastors. And so this is a wonderful display of God's love. The Lord is coming out to present his love to this nation. He is reaching out to the church. He is beckoning the church to himself. He's saying, look, my glory is here. My presence is here. My healing anointing is here. Your help is here. And it's at such a time when the church is dry out all over the world. They are caught up in deception, immorality, nudity, falsehood. They are caught up in all manner of the gospel of the world, prosperity, in pursuit of everything world and sinful. But in this place, even as the nations begin to gather, in this place, in Kenya and Nakuru, those that will come all the way, the Lord is saying there will be sufficient and enormous latter anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is that glory that was spoken about of the latter days, the glory that will surpass human understanding, the glory that will bring things unspoken and things unseen into the church. So I see a lot of cripples that are going to walk. Very, very, very many cripples are going to walk. And a lot of blind that will see, and a lot of deaf that will hear, and a lot of mute that will speak very clearly. And for the deaf, when they are healed, I see them holding their ears, because it's too sensitive now. The ears become very sensitive. And I see a lot of lame people that will be healed. Their legs will be stretched. Those that were not stepping down will now step down. They will be corrected. I see a lot of bleeding diseases stop, a lot of tumors dissolve, a lot of cancers dry out. I see a lot of broken hips healed, people brought in stretchers, They're brought on stretchers and they get up and walk away. Even those who are very sick from broken hip and broken back, they get up now. The spinal cord injuries, they are healed and they get up and walk. I see a lot of wheelchairs surrendered there and crutches. I see bleeding diseases stop, internal organs, the heart healed. I see all this side, the spleen, the kidneys, the liver, the heart, the intestine. And also women with bleeding diseases, people mentally ill. So the Lord is essentially saying that he has poured the blood of Jesus at the venue of the meeting in Nakuru, and anybody else that will partake of that meeting through the Nation TV, NTV, or through the World Wide Web, or through the radio, will be a partaker also unto that healing. This is a blessed message. What a wonderful message before Christmas for people to hear that the Lord, their God, is visiting with them, and he has promised such wonderful things, a basket of wonderful blessings, blessings of healing, restoration, revival, righteousness, and holiness. He's coming to put back a smile to the families whose children were crippled, families that were staring at doom, living a life with a crippled person lying on the mattress all through, being tended, but he's coming to lift them up. He will raise the cripples, and a lot of cripples will walk, even in the conference of pastors. Now, for those who have their spiritual ears open, those who are able to hearken unto the words of the Lord, this is what the Lord is saying. He's saying the latter glory is here, and these are the days of his glory, the days of his servant, the days of the Lord. These are the days of revival, and that in these days, it is always good to be prepared in righteousness and holiness for the glorious coming of the Messiah. When all these things happen like this, these are the signs that the latter outpour is here, and the glory is here, and the Messiah is coming for a holy church. Shalom.
Hallelujah.
Many Christians have not understood the meaning of Christmas.
Wakristo wengi hawajaelewa maana ya Krismasi.
They have not understood why Jesus came to the earth.
Hawajaelewa ni kwa nini Yesu alikuja duniani.
Many Christians celebrate Christmas.
Wakristo wengi husherekea Krismasi.
Just like the heathens.
Kama watu wasiokoka.
They have turned it into a secular holiday.
Wameigeuza kuwa ni likizo ya kidunia.
For eating and drinking.
Ya kukula na kukunywa.
For merrymaking.
Ya kuponda raha.
For sexual sin.
Ya dhambi za ngono.
For lying.
Ya kudanganya.
And there is nothing at all.
Na hakuna kitu chochote hata.
To do with the kingdom of God.
Kinachoambatana na ufalme wa Mungu.
And there is nothing at all.
Na hakuna kitu chochote hata kidogo.
To do with the redemption of men, of the church.
Kinachoambatana na ukombozi wa kanisa, ukombozi wa wanadamu.
You see very clearly.
Unaona kwa wazi sana.
That there is no meaning to the Christian.
Ya kwamba hakuna maana yoyote kwa Mkristo.
For Christmas.
Ya Krismasi.
Except that you understand why Jesus came to the earth.
Isipokuwa ya kwamba ukaelewe ni kwa nini Yesu alikuja duniani.
To save man.
Ili kumuokoa mwanadamu.
Except that you understand the meaning of believing in him.
Isipokuwa ya kwamba ukaelewe maana ya kuamini ndani yake.
And being born again.
Na kuzaliwa mara ya pili.
Born of water.
Kuzaliwa kwa maji.
And born of the spirit.
Na kuzaliwa kwa roho.
Then Christmas will have no meaning to you.
Basi Krismasi haitakuwa na maana yoyote kwako.
Christmas is meant to celebrate.
Krismasi imekusudiwa kusherekea.
The advent of when God remembered man.
Mapambazuko ya wakati ambapo Mungu alimkumbuka mwanadamu.
And sent Jesus of Nazareth.
Na kumtuma Yesu wa Nazareti.
That unless a man be born again.
Ya kuwa mtu asipozaliwa mara ya pili.
Born of the water.
Kuzaliwa kwa maji.
Which means crucify the flesh.
Manake ni ya kwamba kusulubisha mwili.
And the spirit.
Na roho.
Which means open a channel, a bridge of communication.
Kumaanisha kwamba kufungua njia, daraja ya mawasiliano.
Between the created realm.
Kati ya nyanja zilizoumbwa.
The world.
Ulimwengu.
The sinful world that he came to redeem.
Ulimwengu wa dhambi aliyokuja kuukomboa.
And heaven.
Na juu mbinguni.
And that is the meaning of the bridge.
Na hiyo ndio maana ya ile daraja.
That Jesus came to build between sinful man.
Ambayo Yesu alikuja kuijenga kati ya mwanadamu mwenye dhambi.
And holy God.
Na Mungu mtakatifu.
And you see very clearly here.
Na unaona kwa wazi kabisa mahali hapa.
That the works of the cross.
Ya kwamba kazi za msalabani.
Became very very central.
Zilikuwa nyeti sana sana.
In the conversation.
Katika mazungumzo.
That Jesus had with Nicodemus.
Ambayo Yesu alikuwa nayo na Nikodemo.
And Nicodemus is you the church.
Na Nikodemo ni wewe kanisa.
You are the ones who have been going out there.
Ni wewe ambaye umekuwa ukienda kule nje.
Telling the people of the world how they should live.
Na kuambia watu wa ulimwenguni vile wanapaswa wakaishi.
How they should eat.
Vile wanapaswa wakakule.
How they should say.
Vile wanapaswa wakaongee.
And yet, you yourself are lacking in the kingdom of God.
Na ili hali wewe mwenyewe umepungukiwa katika ufalme wa Mungu.
In the inheritance of that kingdom.
Katika urithi wa huo ufalme.
And so Jesus is telling the church today.
Na basi Yesu analiambia kanisa leo hii.
That unless you be born again.
Ya kuwa usipozaliwa mara ya pili.
Which means you kill your old self.
Manake ni ya kwamba uue nafsi yako ya kale.
By the water baptism.
Kwa ubatizo wa maji.
By being born of water.
Kwa kuzaliwa kwa maji.
You cannot see the kingdom of God.
Hauwezi kuona ufalme wa Mungu.
Why?
Kwa nini?
Because only by the baptism of water.
Manake ni kwa ubatizo wa maji tu.
The baptism of the cross.
Ubatizo wa msalaba.
The killing of the flesh in the cross.
Kuua mwili msalabani.
Can the spiritual church.
Ndipo kanisa la kiroho.
Be bathed out.
Leweza kuzaliwa.
A church that is worthy of the wedding of the Lamb of God. The spiritual wedding of the Lamb.
Kanisa nalostahili harusi ya mwanakondoo wa Mungu. Harusi ya kiroho ya mwanakondoo wa Mungu.
Precious people.
Watu wa dhamani.
It is incredible to me.
Yanishangaza kabisa.
Even to realize.
Hata kutambua.
That many Christians have gone about their lives.
Ya kuwa Wakristo wengi wameendelea na maisha yao.
Without truly envisaging, truly understanding.
Pasipo kuelewa na kuweza kufahamu kwa kweli.
Realizing.
Kutambua.
What it means to be born again.
Maana ya kuzaliwa mara ya pili.
And to be spirit formed.
Na kuumbwa kwa roho.
Now listen to me, precious people.
Kwa hivyo nisikizeni watu wa dhamani.
When you are born of water.
Wakati umezaliwa kwa maji.
That means you have centralized the cross.
Hiyo inamaanisha kwamba umekweza msalaba.
The works of the cross in your life.
Kazi za msalaba katika maisha yako.
And when you centralize the cross into your life as a church.
Na wakati unakweza msalaba katika maisha yako kama kanisa.
as a Christian,
kama Mkristo,
that means,
basi hiyo inamaanisha,
you have embraced,
umekumbatia,
the crucifixion of the flesh,
kusulubishwa kwa mwili,
and the sinful desires of the flesh,
na tamaa za mwili za dhambi.
In the book of Isaiah, it has been mentioned repeatedly.
Katika kitabu cha Isaya imetajwa mara kwa mara.
Isaiah chapter 53.
Isaya mlango wa 53.
Verses 1 all the way down to 12.
Mstari wa kwanza kuteremka hadi wa 12.
He talks about the crucifixion of the flesh.
Anazungumzia kusulubishwa kwa mwili.
He talks about the disfiguring of the flesh.
Ananena kuhusu kuharibiwa kwa mwili.
But precious people,
lakini watu wa dhamani,
in other words,
katika maneno mengine,
I am talking about what it means to be born again, a born again Christian today.
Ninazungumzia maana ya kuzaliwa mara ya pili leo, maana ya kuwa Mkristo aliyeokoka leo hii.
I want you to turn with me to John chapter 19.
Ninataka ukafungue pamoja nami kitabu cha Yohana mlango wa 19.
Again, John chapter 19.
Na tena ni Yohana mlango wa 19.
A few verses. Verse 38 on.
Mistari michache kuanzia mstari wa 38 kuendelea.
And here I want to emphasize on why Jesus said that you must be born of the water and the spirit.
Na hapa ninataka kusisitiza kwa nini Yesu alisema ya kuwa ni lazima ukazaliwe kwa maji na kwa roho.
And when he continued expounding,
na alipoendelea kufafanua
on what it means to be born of water,
maana ya kuzaliwa kwa maji,
we see that there is the washing away.
Tuona ya kwamba kuna kule kuoshwa,
the washing,
kuoshwa,
that takes place,
kunakotendeka.
And I said it is that washing when you are dipped into water,
na nikasema ya kwamba ni huko kuoshwa wakati unazamishwa katika maji,
with Jesus,
naye Yesu,
that takes away the sinful flesh,
kunakoondoa asili ya mwili ya dhambi,
the sinful desires of the flesh,
tamaa za mwili za dhambi,
and opens the channel of communication,
na kufungua njia ya mawasiliano,
between the created physical realm,
kati ya nyanja zilizoumbwa za kijinsia,
and the spiritual realm,
na nyanja za kiroho.
That's what I want to emphasize to you here.
Hicho ndicho nachotaka kuwasisitizieni hapa.
In John chapter 19 verses 38.
Katika Yohana 19 mstari wa 38.
Onwards.
Kuendelea.
He says,
asema,
later Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jews. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away.
Baada ya mambo haya, Yusufu wa Arimathea aliyekuwa mfuasi wa Yesu, ingawa kwa siri kwa sababu ya kuwaogopa Wayahudi, alimuomba Pilato ruhusa ili kuuchukua mwili wa Yesu. Pilato alimruhusu, hivyo akaja akauchukua.
You see very clearly here that Joseph was a secret disciple of Jesus.
Waona kwa wazi kabisa ya kwamba Yusufu alikuwa mwanafunzi wa Yesu wa kisiri.
And verse 39,
na mstari wa 39,
he says,
asema,
he was accompanied by Nicodemus,
naye aliandamana pamoja na Nikodemo,
the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night,
yule ambaye kwanza alimwendea Yesu usiku.
Nicodemus brought a mix of myrrh and sweet smelling aloes, about 70 pounds.
Nikodemo akaja akaleta mchanganyiko wa manemane na madukato yenye uzito wa zaidi ya paundi 70.
Taking the body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs.
Wakauchukua mwili wa Yesu, wakauviringisha sanda ya kitani safi pamoja na yale manukato, kama ilivyokuwa desturi ya Wayahudi.
At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a tomb. There was a tomb in which no one had ever been laid.
Basi palikuwa na bustani karibu na mahali pale aliposulubiwa Yesu. Nako ndani ya ile bustani palikuwa na kaburi jipya ambalo hajazikwa mtu bado.
A virgin tomb, in other words.
Yani kaburi ambalo halijawahi kutumika.
Verse 42. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there.
Mstari wa 42. Kwa hiyo, kwa kuwa ilikuwa siku ya Wayahudi ya maandalio, nalo kaburi hilo lilikuwa karibu, wakamzika Yesu humo.
I want to emphasize on one thing here.
Ninataka nisisitize kitu kimoja mahali hapa.
If you look at the Joseph who came with Nicodemus to take the damaged body of Jesus from the cross.
Ukimtazama Yusufu aliyekuja na Nikodemo ili kuuchukua mwili wa Yesu uliokuwa umeharibiwa pale msalabani.
This Joseph,
huyu Yusufu,
was also a secret disciple.
Pia naye alikuwa mwanafunzi wa kisiri.
Like Nicodemus was.
Kama vile Nikodemo alivyokuwa.
Nicodemus had monitored the ministry of Jesus.
Nikodemo alikuwa amechunguza huduma yake Yesu.
Despite Nicodemus coming from the Jewish ruling council.
Kando na Nikodemo kuwa anatoka katika baraza la Wayahudi lilokuwa likitawala.
He had already been convicted.
Tayari alikuwa ameshawishika.
That this man is the messenger of peace.
Ya kuwa mtu huyu ni mjumbe wa amani.
That has come from our God Almighty in heaven.
Aliyekuja kutoka kwa Mungu wetu mkuu mwenyezi juu mbinguni.
And we see that Joseph too.
Na tuona ya kwamba Yusufu naye
was a disciple of Jesus.
Alikuwa mwanafunzi wa Yesu.
Convicted and convinced.
Alishawishika na kuchochewa.
That this man is the son of the living God.
Ya kuwa mtu huyu ni mwana wa Mungu aliye hai.
But they were secret disciples.
Lakini walikuwa wanafunzi wa kisiri.
Nicodemus chooses to come to Jesus at night.
Nicodemo anachagua kumjia Yesu wakati wa usiku.
Because that was an act of separating from the Jewish tradition.
Manake hilo lilikuwa tendo la kujitenga kutoka kwa tamaduni za Kiyahudi.
The Jewish ruling council.
Kutoka katika baraza la Wayahudi lililokuwa linatawala.
And that is the separation that you the church need to take.
Na huko ndiko kujitenga ambako wewe kanisa unapaswa kuchukua.
In order to discover an encounter with Jesus.
Ili ya kwamba ukawe na kukutana ama kutembelewa na Yesu.
But what is most important?
Lakini kile kilicho cha muhimu zaidi
is that they removed the damaged body of Jesus from the cross.
Ni ya kuwa waliuondoa mwili wa Yesu uliokuwa umeharibiwa pale msalabani.
And put the bitter meal.
Na kuweka manemane chungu.
And we remember the magi.
Na tunakumbuka wale mamajusi.
When Jesus was born in the manger.
Wakati Yesu alizaliwa katika hori ya ng'ombe.
The magi already spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus.
Wale magi tayari walizungumza juu ya kusulubiwa kwake Yesu.
In the way they worshipped Jesus in Bethlehem.
Katika jinsi ambayo walimuabudu Yesu Bethlehemu.
They put the gold, purified gold.
Waliweka dhahabu, dhahabu iliyotakaswa.
Before baby Jesus.
Mbele za mtoto Yesu.
In Bethlehem.
Kule Bethlehemu.
The three wise men.
Yani wale watu watatu wenye hekima.
They put purified gold, which symbolizes the purity of God.
Waliweka dhahabu safi kabisa iliyotakaswa, ambayo ilisimamia usafi wa Mungu.
That Jesus was going to live on this earth.
Ambao Yesu alikuwa anaenda kuishi hapa chini duniani.
the purity, the holiness of God.
Usafi, utakatifu wa Mungu.
That he was going to live as the Messiah.
Alikokuwa anaenda kuishi kama Masia.
Who has come to redeem man.
Aliyekuja kumkomboa mwanadamu.
From this sinful world.
Kutoka katika ulimwengu huu wa dhambi.
He was going to live a life of purity and holiness.
Alikuwa anaenda kuishi maisha ya usafi na utakatifu.
And they put bitter myrrh.
Na wakaweka manemane chungu.
Which symbolizes the fact that this life of purity.
Inayosimamia swala ya kwamba haya maisha ya utakatifu.
That you the Messiah.
Ambayo wewe Masia.
That you are going to live on this earth.
Ambayo unaenda kuyaishi hapa chini duniani.
In order to redeem man.
Ili kumkomboa mwanadamu.
This life of purity.
Haya maisha ya usafi.
Which is symbolized by the purified gold.
Ambayo yamesimamiwa na dhahabu iliyotakaswa.
Is going to bring you bitterness.
Yatakuletea uchungu.
Extreme bitterness on earth.
Uchungu mkali kabisa duniani.
Because you are going to testify.
Manake unaenda kushuhudia.
On the sin that men commit.
Dhidi ya dhambi ambazo mwanadamu wanatenda.
On the sins of the world.
Dhidi ya dhambi za ulimwenguni.
We know that the devil is the greatest author of counterfeit.
Twajua ya kwamba shetani ndiye mwanzilishi mkubwa kabisa wa ubandia.
Just as the church, the Christians.
Kama vile kanisa, mukristo.
You are the holy habitation.
Wewe ni makao matakatifu.
1 Corinthians chapter 6.
Wakorintho wa kwanza mlango wa 6.
Verse 12 on.
Mstari wa 12 kuendelea.
He says.
Asema.
Your bodies are the holy habitation. The holy temple of the Holy Spirit.
Ya kwamba miili yenu ni hekalu takatifu. Makao matakatifu ya Roho Mtakatifu.
And so in that way.
Na basi katika namna hiyo.
The devil also.
Ibilisi pia.
Uses the bodies of man.
Anaitumia miili ya wanadamu.
As his habitation.
Kama makao yake.
And that's why when the rapture takes place.
Na ndo manake wakati unyakuzi unatendeka.
And the church is taken away.
Na kanisa linanyakuliwa.
That means the holy habitation of the Holy Spirit. Has been taken away.
Hii inamaanisha kwamba makao matakatifu ya Roho Mtakatifu yamechukuliwa.
Then the Holy Spirit.
Basi Roho Mtakatifu.
Is also taken away at rapture.
Pia naye anachukuliwa wakati wa unyakuzi.
But the three wise men.
Lakini hao watu watatu wenye hekima.
When they met baby Jesus at Bethlehem.
Walipokutana na mtoto Yesu Bethlehemu.
They laid gold.
Wakamwekea dhahabu.
That symbolizes the purity of God.
Hiyo inasimamia utakatifu wa Mungu.
That was in Jesus.
Uliokuwemo katika Yesu.
The purity of holiness.
Usafi wa utakatifu.
And righteousness.
Na uhaki.
That he was going to lead.
Aliyokuwa anaenda kuongoza.
And live on this earth.
Na kuishi hapa chini duniani.
As he comes to redeem sinful men.
Anapokuja kumkomboa mwanadamu wa dhambi.
But the bitter myrrh.
Lakini ile manemane chungu.
Was the bitterness.
Ilikuwa ule uchungu.
That now. Because he's going to testify.
Ya kwamba sasa kwa sababu anaenda kushuhudia.
Against the devil.
Dhidi ya shetani.
Against the sinful world.
Dhidi ya ulimwengu wa dhambi.
Now mankind.
Sasa mwanadamu.
Who have been inhabited by the devil.
Ambaye alikuwa amekaliwa na shetani. Shetani amekaa ndani yake.
They are going to be offended.
Sasa wangechukizwa.
When Jesus testifies against sin.
Wakati Yesu anashuhudia kinyume na dhambi.
So they would fight him bitterly and crucify him.
Kwa hivyo wangempinga vikali hadi wamsulubishe.
But in that crucifixion of bitterness.
Lakini katika huko kusulubishwa kwa uchungu.
The frankincense.
Ile uvumba ya manukato safi.
That the three wise men put before Jesus.
Ambayo wale watu watatu wenye hekima waliweka mbele za Yesu.
Represent the precious fragrance that was going to leave from the damaged body of Christ from the cross.
Ilisimamia yale manukato safi ya dhamani.
That was going to leave from the damaged body of Christ from the cross.
Yaliyokuwa yanaenda kutoka katika mwili wa Kristo ulioharibiwa pale msalabani.
into the throne room of God,
hadi katika chumba cha enzi cha Mungu,
saturating it,
na kuenea kule,
with this precious fragrance of worship at the cross,
na haya manukato ya dhamani ya ibada msalabani,
and that now God the Father,
na ya kwamba sasa Mungu Baba,
would atone for the sins of men,
angeziondoa dhambi za wanadamu.
That is the message that Jesus spoke to Nicodemus.
Huo ndio ujumbe ambao Yesu alimnenea Nikodemo.
When he said, unless a man be born again,
aliposema ya kwamba mtu asipozaliwa mara ya pili,
he cannot see the kingdom of God,
hawezi kuona ufalme wa Mungu.
Unless a man be born of water,
mtu asipozaliwa kwa maji,
and the spirit,
na kwa roho,
he cannot see the kingdom of God,
hawezi kuona ufalme wa Mungu.
The water baptism is the killing of the flesh,
kwa hivyo ubatizo wa maji ni kuua mwili,
by total burial with Jesus,
yani kwa kuzikwa kikamilifu na Yesu,
to create a communication channel,
ili kutengeneza njia ya mawasiliano,
a portal,
tundu,
into the spiritual realm of heaven,
hadi katika nyanja za kiroho za mbinguni,
that now the Holy Spirit may descend on the church,
ya kwamba sasa Roho Mtakatifu na akalishukie kanisa,
and pronounce sonship,
na kutangaza uwana,
this is my son,
huyu ni mwanangu,
these are my children,
hawa ni watoto wangu,
and pleasure,
na kupendezwa,
whom I am pleased with,
ninao pendezwa nao.
When they live their life,
wakati wanapoishi maisha yao,
their life now please me,
sasa maisha yao yananipendeza.
And then say finally,
na kisha aseme baadaye,
that this realm in the church,
ya kwamba nyanja hizi kanisani,
belong to the kingdom of God,
ni za ufalme wa Mungu.
And then declare finally,
na kisha akatangaze baadaye,
that church,
ya kwamba hilo kanisa,
born of water,
lililozaliwa kwa maji,
baptized of the Holy Spirit,
limebatizwa kwa Roho Mtakatifu,
is the raptured church,
ni kanisa la unyakuzi,
the bride of Christ,
bi arusi wa Kristo.
So you see, there is no room for sins,
na basi waona kwamba hakuna nafasi ya dhambi.
There is no room for the created realm,
hakuna nafasi ya nyanja zilizoumbwa.
In this conversation,
katika mazungumzo haya,
this is what I wanted you to understand,
hiki ndicho nilichowataka mkaelewe.
Even as you prepare,
hata mnapojiandaa,
in a very festive time across the globe,
katika msimu huu wa karamu kote kote duniani,
when everybody is celebrating Christmas,
wakati kila mtu anasherehekea Krismasi,
without really understanding,
pasipo kuelewa hata kidogo,
the underpinning,
ule ujumbe wa ndani,
of the emissary, the messenger,
wa mjumbe,
the messiah,
masia,
Christ Jesus of Nazareth,
Kristo Yesu wa Nazareti,
who was sent to redeem men,
aliyetumwa kumkomboa mwanadamu.
May you find a new walk,
basi na ukapate mtembeo mpya,
with the Lord Jesus,
na Bwana Yesu,
out of this conversation,
kutokana na mazungumzo haya.
For those who have ears,
kwa wale walio na masikio,
let them listen,
wacha na wakasikize,
because
kwa kuwa
the mouth of the Lord,
kinywa cha Bwana,
he has spoken,
amenena.